Okay, reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, text 57. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Uttarasmad Uttarasmad Purva Purvo Shreyaya Bhavati. Each earliest stage should be considered better than the one following it. Worship of the Lord in the mode of goodness, sattva, is better than worship in passion, rajas. And worship in the mode of passion is better than worship in ignorance. In his teaching to his mother, Lord Kapiladev explains devotional service executed under the influence of the three modes. O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, hypocritical, violent, and angry, who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Worship of the deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers him the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrities of fruitive actives, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Bhagavatam 3:29-7:10. In this purport to this passage, Srila Prabhupada explains the key word, bina drik, meaning possessed of a separatist vision. The word separatist must be understood carefully. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. The mixed devotees are devotees in the mode of passion and ignorance. Think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotee. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible the sense gratification. This is a separatist mentality. Still, despite their separatist mentality, such devotees are blessed. If they begin executing devotional service under the guidance of teachers who are in pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, they can gradually be elevated to pure bhakti, as stated in the verse previously, 3:10. All classes of worshippers are encouraged to worship the Supreme Father, even with their material desires, and the purport Srila Prabhupada writes, quote, as unmixed sun rays is very forceful and is therefore full tivre, similarly unmixed bhakti is hearing, chanting, Dhyana Bhakti Yoga must be performed by one and all, regardless of motive. So, Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Mavatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Napitam yena bhutale sayam rupa tadamayam tadati sapadantikam pancha kopa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhaye vicha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from New York. I'm in the Bhakti Center now on First Avenue. And I attended Radha Swami called it the Renaissance. The revival of the Tuesday program. And I went because I want sadhu sangha. I love to listen to classes, hear wonderful kirtan. Raghunath Swami was there speaking. Tomorrow I'm going to be at the Yoga Maya program with Shamdas. You know, so he was figuring how to get there, and I was telling him you know, don't worry, you know, we'll take care. If, you know, you take a train or you need to park your car. He said, hey, Swamiji, he said, I'm just there to get your satsang, to do satsang with you, to get satsang. So that's the mood of the devotee. He wants to be associated with the truth. And discussions based on spiritual principles, based on the sacred texts. Because that experience, both intellectually and spiritually, is very, very potent. It's spiritual. And when you associate with spiritual things, it awakens something that is already within you, which is your loving spirit. I often give the example of, you know, our nature is covered now, but it is there. Just like the nature of water is liquidity, but somehow by certain questions, certain conditions, its nature is changed and it becomes ice. So the water, the liquidity is there in the ice. It just can't function as water. It can't wash things. It can't be drunk. You know, you can't drink it. It doesn't have the functions of water. It's had, you know, its nature has been, but in certain conditions, its original nature will be, its original nature will be revived. And so in a similar way, by the satsang, then it affects our consciousness and creates the environment to bring it back to its natural loving nature, which is what we're all seeking. I think we're all seeking a certain happiness, and we are convinced that that happiness is a feeling of selflessness and love within the heart. And that's what the nature of bhakti is. So it's real nice to be here. And next week, I'll be giving the program on Tuesday. It was really a wonderful program. And I would say it was Raghunath Swami really spoke wonderfully. And I really, what struck out most, one, is he told this story about this nice devotee who was a brahmachari, and then he got married, and then he passed away. And but you know, his wife was pregnant, and he called Maharaj up, and he had a cancer that was so aggressive the doctor said he can die in a week or two. Anyway, he lived for 6 months, but the story was is that he was always blissful. And even some of the brahmacharis were questioning if this was real. But it was just so steady, and the conditions of his passing away were just so incredibly auspicious, that they concluded it was real. And, you know, despite his daughter being born you know, and you know, he was still alive. And, you know, and he was going to die soon. He was just always expressing his gratitude for we tend to question God's mercy when we undergo suffering, and we tend not to see his mercy for the blessings that are there. And this person was just thinking how incredibly blessed he was. If he actually weighed his life, so rare, Pramanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Deej, so rare to come in contact with a bona fide guru, a spiritual life. How many of us are just feeling overwhelmingly grateful that we came in contact with Prabhupada and Prabhupada's potency through Prabhupada's followers? This person is grateful that he got to read the sacred text, that he got to live in the ashram and have the association of devotees. So, really, that type of perspective on life, on being able to see our life in a really an objective way. We don't count our blessings, unfortunately. This world is a world of suffering, but the blessings are the opportunities we get to end that suffering. And it's so fortunate. I can't count my blessings to get the opportunities I've had in my life to understand the self, to become Krishna's devotee. Anyway, it was an inspiring class, an inspiring thing for you here. And any around want to come to Yoga Maya, it looks like we're going to get a good crowd tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited about that. To get Shamdas's Sangha. So we had read how to attain bhakti, and now we're just finishing a section of bhakti that's not pure. And pure means to want to serve Krishna. Impurities mean to want to serve ourselves separate from Krishna. We have needs, we have desires, and there's a range of needs and desires that are required for our spiritual life. But when bhakti becomes mixed, we're in a consciousness separate from Krishna. And separate from Krishna means separate from our service to Krishna. Who we are is in relationship to God, where this glorious part of God. We are what makes God. That's what we are. What are we? We're part of God. We have this incredible connection with the universe, the conscious universe, the conscious reality, the loving reality. And to act separate from that, in our enjoyment, by thinking ourselves separate from that, that material consciousness that denies the reality of the Absolute,
and ascribes that reality falsely to ourselves. So that's the material consciousness. And we're struggling with that. We're struggling with that because we have a body that moves for that, which is the reason we got the body. The body is a product of karma. And what is karma? Karma is that consciousness. I want to enjoy separate from God. And the result of that is a body that allows us to have that illusion. Fruitive consciousness. I am acting not as a part of God, I'm acting as a separate entity that wants to be him. And we struggle with this. And the whole Vedic knowledge is to get rid of this consciousness, to get rid of this false ego, this false conception of the self. The world is about that. The shastras are about that. Our life is about that. And the fortunate person is one who strives for that and doesn't forget that, that that is the goal. And within that goal, I may have children. Within that goal, I may love my children. Within that goal, I may have my family. Within that goal, I may be dedicated to my work. But that is the goal, to achieve that platform of purity. And Gail Gurungi knows my favorite statement, by Prabhupada, number one, the pure state of the living entity is called a devotee. One who identifies as a servant of Krishna and one who desires to serve Krishna and one who acts on that platform to serve Krishna. And whose life is about awakening that spirit within their heart to serve Krishna. By molding their life in a way that they get satsang, they get association with objects and acts that represent the truth, which is that Krishna is God and we are his servants. And the energy in this world is meant for the service of God and to awaken that consciousness within us. So there's pure bhakti, and it was described as this incredible energy of love that has no other desire than to serve. And it's so subtle. It's so looking for something, excuse me. Okay, here it is. It's so refined. It's so beyond any impetus of selfishness. It never stops. But unfortunately, we are where we are. We're in different situations and different attachments. And it's being described here because we have to make those distinctions. Definitions are important because if you, they're not precise, you can't identify things and use them properly. If you define bhakti as too broad, then you'll include things within devotion and do things within the name of devotion that are not devotion. Like I know a person, ecstasy and kirtan, and then turns to me, but you know, isn't it the end we all dissolve? They included any type of love within bhakti, and I see it in the name of bhakti, what people do. Or if you make the definition of bhakti too narrow, you'll exclude activities of devotion that you could be performing. So there's always within the scriptures some helpful distinction that is made. And one is of what is mixed devotion. And that so Narada in this treatise, he wants to discuss an inferior that's mixed with material motivations. It's mixed with the modes. And what are the modes? The modes are subtle strands of matter that allow us to conduct selfish activity. And in the process of bhakti, and the verse what we read today, said that uttamas uttarasmat uttarasmat purva purva shreya above is considered, each earlier one is better than the later one. One is better than the other. And the bhakti is described here. And we can see that when your devotion becomes sectarian and hateful, the mode of ignorance. In the name of devotion, we hate others who are not of our faith, or our expression, or our shade of devotion. We can make distinctions. We have faith based on that. But we see that mixture. We see in the name of religion, whether it's Hinduism or Christianity or whatever, we can see a certain type of hate that enters. A certain fear to our faith of others with other faith, threatening. We know what that looks like. We can identify within ourselves. And then there's a more subtle mixture, which is a little better, where the hate is not so pronounced, but still the mentality is separate, and there's a certain type of ambition. We start doing devotional service in terms of how the performance of devotional service increases our respect, and thus our ability to control the world for our enjoyment. It becomes mixed. And then there's basically in the mode of goodness, where you start performing devotional service sincerely, which is for the pleasure of Krishna. Bhakti is honesty. You are serving Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. You're not serving Krishna for any other reason. Therefore, honesty is bhakti. When you serve Krishna because you want Krishna pleased, not because you want to enhance your material prestige, position, enjoyment. And therefore, these verses are pointing out these distinctions. The most important thing, being honest with Guru, serving sincerely, serving for the pleasure of Krishna. We had that discussion with Mahamuni on Sunday, where we're so oriented to results in our activities that when we do something good, the virtue itself of the activity is not sufficient for us. We want to see what is the result of us being virtuous. What does Krishna give us for that? What do people think of us for that? To give up that fruitive consciousness, which is, as quite here, separate, competitive, material consciousness, domination, control. It's so subtle, but we see it within ourselves. Why are we serving? Really try to see clearly when that service becomes connected with that insidious desire to be the center, to enjoy and control. We should identify it. We should want to serve Krishna and not have anyone know about it. And I was discussing, there's a book I'm reading, John Climatis. The Ladder of Divine Descent, which describes different material qualities that these monks would have to go through to get rid of progressively. And it describes that sometimes within an institution, your service gets connected to a certain status. And they describe that sometimes so-called great devotees in monasteries, when they were put out or they went out to meditate and worship God alone in the desert, as other monks did, they lost their pace for devotional service because their pace for devotional service was based on the praise they were getting, as they called the manure of praise. That's what their bhakti was based on. So there's hateful, ambitious, and detached. Like people give donations. But will you give it when it's anonymous? Or you get as much when it's anonymous. If you're not, then what it means is that you're not giving the money to the service of Krishna. You're giving the money for the benefit you will get in terms of the recognition of society. So these things are being distinguished so that we can apply these things. Now, we'll do a few more verses today. It's always harder to give the classes when I travel. Whatever the result comes out at the end, I don't know. But so, success is easier to attain by devotional service than any other process. So Shastras say that because the nature of devotion is a qualification of heart. It's not a material qualification. It doesn't have to do with the level of your brain power, the amount of austerities you can perform, the gender, caste, nationality you have. The process is simple. The application is difficult. The process is simple because anyone can perform devotional service. The application is difficult because you have to be humble to serve. But humility is not a material qualification because you can have humility in any material situation. You can bow down in any situation. You can pray in any situation. You can serve in any situation. So, the application which takes humility is different. I just remember a classic story that brought that out in my mind when I used to daven. This man became a devotee from a South Indian Brahmin family, and he was a master yogi. He was a journalist for the Times of India. He was just a very educated person, very disciplined. He would sit with his back straight and chant 16 rounds. And then there was another person who just had a very difficult time controlling his tongue and his eating and his mind. He had mental problems. He had a deferment from the army. So many things. I was so impressed with this person who was sitting up straight. He left after a couple of days, and another person there is still there, still distributing Prabhupada's books after 45 years. Still trying to humbly serve. So one had tremendous material qualifications, but they were proud. The Bhagavatam is such a special book because the Bhagavatam is not about material position. Material aggrandizement. It's not about something for you. It's about love. It's about developing love in your heart. And therefore, it's not a scripture that helps you in other ways. And therefore, when the Bhagavatam is introduced in the second verse, the second canto, the Bhagavatam says, Dharma projita kaita votra paramo namatsananam satam. That it kicks out this kind of mixed religion, mixed with non-religion. And therefore it's cheating religion, because religion really means the nature of the soul to serve. And religion which offers material things in reward is not really pure religion. So the Bhagavatam is militant against that. It's very, very special. And therefore, who is it for? Namatsananam satam. It is for the devotees. And how are the devotees defined? Nirmatra. They don't have hate near Matsurah. They don't have envy near Matsurah. And due to the hate and the envy, our objective and goal is to be better than others materially, to have more control than others, to be regarded higher than others. But the Bhagavad Gita doesn't have that. It's not about improving yourself materially at all. It's about increasing the love in your heart. And that's what you'll get if that's what you want. That's what the spiritual world needs. You've got to change your objective. You've got to change your motive. You've got to change your consciousness. Otherwise, you will not be happy there because the spiritual world is not about you. The spiritual world is not about you. It's about Krishna. And it's about you in relationship to Krishna. And entering into that realm of perfection means you have bhakti purely, which means your only desire is to serve. And therefore, you can be happy in a place where you are overtly and constitutionally, not just constitutionally, but overtly not the center. The center is occupied, the center is known, and everyone is serving that center. Everyone is revolving their lives around that center. Everyone is glorifying that center. And you have to want that. Otherwise, you're not happy there and you can't be there. Prabhupada taught pure devotional service, which begins with surrender. Prabhupada is very strong on pure devotional service. Devotional service is not a process of self-indulgence. Ecstasies come, but we're not seeking ecstasy. We're in love. We're seeking the service and pleasure of Krishna, which we enter by giving ourselves to the Guru, the Vaishnavas, and those who are centered on Krishna. We give ourselves. We give our lives, we mold our lives around Krishna's desires which come through the Guru Parampara. That's what Prabhupada taught. And those who are his real disciples live that. Their life is about Krishna and Krishna's desires coming through his pure devotees. So it's easier process because it's not material. It's the one thing we can have at every moment in any situation, which is to serve and love, to enjoy and control is limited to one who is the enjoyer and controller. So bhakti is easy. Do it. Surrender. And therefore, in the Shastras, so many verses explain. Kaler doshe nidheira jan eko asti mahagunan kirtanan eva krishnasya mukta sangam pravam prajate. It explains. It's an ocean of faults. Faults. There's one good quality. devotion in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to those who are devoid of a sense of false prestige. Dhyana process, which is based on vairagya, is very, very difficult because it's dependent on your own efforts. It's dependent on your karmic powers. And materially, it's extremely difficult, the level of control. But bhakti is simple. Surrender to Krishna, love Krishna. It's just changing your heart. See, the difficulty is not material, it's spiritual. And if it helps you understand what spiritual is. Spiritual are qualities of the heart. So it's an easy process. Because bhakti doesn't depend on anything else for its power. Except bhakti. Any other path, the means and the end are the same, are different. You try to become liberated, you have to perform austerities, but the goal is moksha, not renunciation. Bhakti, the practice is devotion, and the goal is devotion. In that way, it's a very natural and simple process. Doesn't depend on anything else for its power and authority. And it's full of, the next verse says, the reason devotional service, it does not depend on any other authority, being itself. Okay, I'm going to end a little bit early today. Are there any questions so far?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Gail.
Hare Bol, Grandi.
Well, it was nice to finally get another super soul experience after so long.
To get another what?
To get another super soul experience. It's been so long.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had
tell
no
me
idea.
About your super soul.
Yeah, I had no idea that you were going to speak about, you know, devotion in the modes, you know. And just like an hour and a half or so before the class, I took time to figure out what my three questions were about this, and I wrote them down, you know. And then you ended up speaking on the very, very thing, you know, that I was wanting to ask you about. But anyway.
You look wonderful.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, well, you partially answered one of my questions, but another part is, can you give a distinction between devotional service done in the mode of goodness and devotional service done in pure goodness? Like, what's an example of devotional service in the mode of goodness?
Mm. Well, technically speaking, the mode of goodness is never pure. So you become attached to, like Narada Muni, when he was in the Himalayas meditating, he became attached to the mode of goodness, to the peace, to the I understand what you're saying. Pure goodness, there's no attachment. It's only to serve Krishna. It's pure devotion of service. But if something is actually still within the modes, within the mode of goodness, there's still some attachment to that mode, which means to
enjoy
peacefulness. You know what I'm saying? You're kind of attached to the peacefulness, the religiosity, et cetera. The real pure devotionals, like that, it's really beyond the modes. Then one only wants to serve Krishna. So the mode of goodness is contaminated with some, still some attachment, but not for ambition, you know, but personal peacefulness and things like that. The personal liberation, you know. So, but it's really, it's from that platform, which is like dry grass, a spark falling on dry grass, that it can inflame again. You know, that it can, you know, the spark, when it falls on the dry grass, it can become the fire again. So it's anything within the modes. There's still a personal attachment. It's just a different flavor. One is attachment to inertia. You know, one is attachment to intense activity. And the mode of goodness is an attachment to peacefulness and clarity and enlightenment. It's still something you want for yourself. Where real devotional service means Narayana Prasade, Nikutas Chanya Vipyati, Swaga Pravaka Narakeshu, Apiku Yarta Darshana. One doesn't care for anything, only wants Krishna, please.
And I guess the level of purification that a person attains in that mixed service depends upon how much of it is done for Krishna and how much of it is done for yourself, or how much attachment there is.
Well, here actually it's saying something else, too. It's saying that if you, you know, even if you have motives, the kama sava kama va moksha kama adharati, vena bhakti okena, if your devotional service is like, even with motive, if you can fix your mind on Krishna, even with motive, it's saying that it's very, very, very purified. But obviously, if it's without motive, then you're not only focused on the object of devotion, but your activity itself becomes devotional. Because an object of devotion is going to be purifying no matter how you contact it, even if you contact it at an entity. It's going to be purifying. That's why out of all, any kind of emotion, even out of, you know, lust, out of hate, whatever, if it's an object of devotion, it's going to be purifying. But when the activity itself becomes devotional, it's so much more purifying. Because you're not only being purified by the object, but you're being purified by the act. And the act of devotion allows you to focus more intensely on the object of devotion, so it's more powerful. But Dhruvamaharaja just wanted a planet greater than his father, but he chanted. He did his practice, and he was absorbed. Okay, Gail?
Yeah, okay. Well, there's more burning stuff, but I guess I have to give other people a chance.
Why, Mahamuni doesn't. Why do you have to? I'm just joking. You can ask another question.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, it kind of struck me when you said that, you know, when you're contrasting bhakti to the Gyan Marg, you know, where they have to, you know, rely on their own karmic, you know, qualifications, whereas in bhakti is simple because, you know, all we have to do, as you said, is simply change our heart. But that seems like insurmountable, you know, changing the heart.
It's not a material qualification. So you have what you need to do it right now, materially. This is no material qualification. So, you know, but if you're going to talk about Yan and, you know, and meditating for hours, you know, it's just way beyond you, materially. So obviously, you know, the heart is very difficult too. The application is difficult, but not the process. The process is very simple, very accessible, et cetera. It's that application because it's surrender. Yeah, it's tough, but right now, decide and do it. Give yourself fully, surrender. But I couldn't say to you, go ahead, do it. Meditate for 10,000 years. Focus.
But it seems the same. It seems as difficult. For me, anyway, personally. I mean, to say, you know, to just say, oh, Krishna, whatever you want, I will do anything, whatever you want, you know, nothing for me, just for you. My God.
Well, I said the application is difficult, but the process is simple. But when it's just a question of application, there's more hope. It's like someone, you know, you're 5'1", and someone says, become a professional basketball player. You know? Okay. You just don't have the constitution for it or something, whatever the case is. Or even if you were tall, if you were in practice. But if someone says, go inside and bow down to the deities, anyone can do that. If they want.
But that's an external, like, activity. You know, that's different from the heart being, you know, I mean.
No. When I'm saying bow down to the deities, and if you look at a person who doesn't have, you know, bow down is an act of humility. You bow down as an act of humility. That's fine.
This is what I mean, you know, to go from being a person without humility to suddenly, how can you suddenly become a person with humility? That sounds like the, you know, the 5'1" person
No, I'm explaining something different. I'm talking about the act of bhakti, which takes a certain application, because some people won't bow down. I'm talking about the act of bhakti, not any great internal development. I'm talking about the act of bhakti. To want to do it, to want to surrender to Krishna. You can do it now. You may still be struggling or something, but still. A child can perform bhakti. How difficult can it be? So the distinction is, it's on one level it may be easier, but it's not. It may be more difficult. You see, on the other, you don't have to change your heart. But on the level of effort involved, and the material qualifications involved, Dhyan is so much more difficult. Karma is so much more difficult. Yoga is so much more difficult. But it's a fact in the Satyayuga, bhakti was so easy that people couldn't take to it because it was just too easy. They had so many qualifications. They wanted something that appeared to be more arduous, appeared to be more difficult. So they didn't take the bhakti in Satyayuga. It just was too easy. So I'm not denying that changing your heart may be difficult, but it's not a material qualification. Everyone is equally in any situation can do it. There's nothing to do about material qualification. Okay, Gail?
Yeah, okay.
On to someone else. Anyone else? I think if people would like to say hello, that would be nice.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajrade.
Brajrade, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I'm looking at my schedule, trying to find another nice Saturday program at your house. Would be nice.
Okay. Yes, Maharaj.
Is your program Saturday or Friday?
Saturday.
Okay, some questions. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end it today. It's fine. Lunch, you call for 3 years.